Morning, been heavy on my heart, and something in my heart to preach this morning. In Mark chapter 9, appreciate all these young men bringing their instruments, and we'll try to get them to sing tonight some. I just feel the need to preach. And the Lord helped me this morning. Oh, God. Mark chapter 9, we'll just read two verses. Verse 42, the Bible said, "And whosoever shall offend one of these little ones that believe in me, it is better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and were cast into the sea." Verse 43, "If thy hand offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter into life maimed than having two hands to go into hell in a fire that never shall be quenched." I want you to recognize some things about these verses. Number one thing is Jesus is speaking to His men right here, His disciples. It's not the world. There's not multitudes for us. What we see in this, He's warning these men about hell. And I've thought about that. I mean, they were His own men. They were His disciples. And He warned them about hell fire. He said, "Where the worm died not, the fire is not quenched." And so what's the message here? What is the message in this text this morning, that He would say this to His own men? Looked like 12 of them that followed Him. Probably might have been more there. I don't know. But it does say, if you go back in the Scriptures, thank God, He said in verse number 35, and He sat down and called the 12. And so it was the 12 there, "and saith unto them." And then He went on and spoke to them about some things about the kingdom. And then He comes to this verse. And before they had said something about a child, and thank God, Jesus said He's the greatest in the kingdom. But we find here this morning, then He takes this to verses and He says, "I say, and whosoever," He ended up, thank God, making it larger than them, "whosoever shall offend one of these little ones that believe in me." So I think you can preach that two ways. In fact, take a child that's been converted, or maybe a child being brought up in the church house, amen, and they're offended, amen, by someone else. He said it'd be better for a millstone to be around your neck and thrown into the depth of the sea. And it also could be a young believer, a believer in Christ. Amen. And been offended. Now, I want to preach this morning. If God will help me, it's hard for me not to preach it with zeal. It's hard not for me to preach it with boldness, because this is a bold message. Amen. But I will say this. He's talking here, I believe, in my own heart. And He's talking about apostasy. Here. In fact, the word offend means to apostatize, to stumble, amen, to beat, my friend, tripped up. And I believe He's talking about apostasy here. And the only way I can say this morning that anybody will tell whether Joel Hite really did enter the kingdom is whether he perseveres. Amen. It is how you start, you got to start right. But it is how you finish this morning. It's according to what we do in our life. Amen. God gave us, amen, the Word of God. And the Word of God's what Jesus said and who He is. And we find here this morning that He said it's better. It would be better for Him. Amen. Thank God the millstone were hanging about His neck. And He said, if you offend a child, if you offend a young believer, if you bring offense to them, thank God, He said it'd be better for you to be drowned in the depth of the sea. I'm going to tell you, that's strong language. It's very strong. Can I tell every parent here this morning that it is your responsibility to raise your children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord? It's a sad day when we're putting things ahead of God and trying to raise our children and expect God to bless us. Now, it is right what I'm preaching. There's nothing more important to that child, thank God, than what God has. Their
their souls at stake. If they gain the whole world, if your child, amen, became the president of a company and brought in over $100,000 a year and lived his life in a nice house and drove a nice car and died and went to hell, it wouldn't mean nothing. Amen. It's more important this morning to know your child's saved and taken to the house of God where a man will preach to them, where a man will tell them like it is, that the Holy Ghost can work in their heart instead of playing religion, amen, and putting them in hell, thank God, by falseness, amen. That's right. You say, preacher, why are you so straight? Praise God, He is.
Amen.
He ain't changed. It's in or out. It's saved or lost. It's heaven or hell. Hey, there's no in between with that. Why? Thank God I listened. I was lost going to hell. I ought to be in hell. But brother, I'm saying this. Thank God when I was 24 years old, I heard the message, you must be born again. And God took that message and dealt with my heart and birthed me in the family of God. And He changed my course. He changed my desire. Amen. I have not been perfect, but I serve one that is, and He's able to help me. Amen. And I'm telling you, friend, if you want to send your youngins down the wrong road, just go ahead and live your life in the world. Amen. That's right. Amen. Listen, there's a lot of things. I'm going to tell you, I wrote this little thing up. I wasn't going to get on this, but I'm getting on it. I wrote this thing up. I said, if you want to destroy your children, take them out of a good Bible preaching, God-sending church.
Right.
Take them down where the liberals are, where they got gymnasiums and puppet shows and all that.
Right.
Take them to that. I tell you, you'd be better off taking them to YMCA. Listen, thank God you take them something. I've seen people do that. They take their children out of the house of God. Amen. Put the world before God. That's how you can send them down the wrong road. Put the world before God. Amen. There's a lot of things, friend. Thank God, in the home, there ought to be some rules. But there ought to be some room for them to grow up and be children. And let them learn. Praise God. You don't know how to get up till you fall, friend. That's the purpose of God. God's purpose is in His own children's life, because He ain't going to keep you from falling every time. There's going to be some falls in life that you might learn to get up. That's the thing is, friend, I don't think I'm better than nobody. In fact, I know myself better than anybody else. Thank God, and I know that I need the help of God. But I'm telling you, if you're going to raise your children, you better have the thoughts of God in your heart and mind and raise them in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. You know, the Hebrew children, the Jews, they had to learn the first five books. What do you think, Deuteronomy 6, we've used that verse, we don't practice that. He said, when you sit down, when you rise up, when you lay down, wherever you're at, put the Word of God before them. That's what He meant right there. That's what they learned. Do you not think Nicodemus knew that when he came to Jesus by night? He knew that, Brother Joe. He knew it. The Jews know it today. That's what they trust in. They trust in the law of Moses. Thank God, Deuteronomy means the second law. They trust in them things. Amen. Thank God, we got something better to trust in. Amen. We trust in Jesus. Thank God, He fulfilled the law. We don't have to come under the subjection. Amen. Of what Moses? Listen, Moses was a great man. Moses was a lawgiver. That was the purpose of God in him. The grace of truth came through Jesus Christ. And thank God through Him we have life. Amen. Listen. Thank God, the most important thing about your children, amen, is they get born again. Amen. That's right. Praise God. Notice verse 43. I won't preach this a little bit. He said, if thy hand offend thee, cut it off. That don't mean you literally cut it off. That ain't what that means. You can cut your hand off, amen, and still have sin in your life. It's not your hand that's the problem. It's what's operating your hand. Amen. He said, notice. He said, if thy hand offend thee, if thy hand causes you to apostatize, If your hand causes you to be stumbling, and amen, and my friend tripped up, he said, if thy hand, and in one text it said, if thy right hand offend thee, he said, cut it off. It's better to enter life crippled or maimed than having two hands to go into hell. And the fire never shall be quenched. Listen, I believe Jesus looked at his 12 right there, and he said, if your hand offends you, cut it off. I'm telling you what he's doing. He's warning them of apostasying with their hand. Amen. Don't let your hand apostasize. Amen. Don't let your hand apostasize from the truth. Do not let your hand apostasize from the truth I'm giving you. If you apostasize, amen, you'll go to hell. That's what he said. I'm reading what he said. Thank God, friend, I'm just saying that apostasy is a man that falls away. Amen. Listen to me. I know there's Brother Joe. I mean, we could sit down and talk for hours. It don't matter who it was. You'd have some different views. Oh, some different scriptures. But I'm telling you, in John 6, when Jesus preached to them men, and he said, amen, you shall not part. You're going to have to eat my flesh and drink my blood. He said, no man can come to me except he be drawn. And that's the truth. Amen. No man will come till he's drawn. If God sets the hook in you, you better get in the family while he's drawing you. Amen. It said in that scripture it was a hard saying. Many of his disciples walked no more of him. I think there's apostates. Now I won't give you my thoughts on these scriptures. I think he's talking about Judas right here. I think it could be anybody, but he's looking at 12 and only one of them done what he said right here. If thy hand offend thee, what was that hand? It was a dirty, betraying hand. Yes, sir, he held the bag with his hand. He is a thief with his hand. Amen. What are you holding in your hand? Amen. It was a thief, friend. He said he held the bag. It said his hand, my friend, betrayed innocent blood. Amen. Christ was without sin. Amen. But he betrayed him. And brother, I'm telling you, how can somebody betray such a good Lord and a good God? And we understand and know that the scripture was fulfilled in that betrayal. But friend, I'm telling you this, he went to God and listen, his hand betrayed the Son of God, his hand cut 30 pieces of silver and said, there he is, we'll arrest him. His hand took it. He said, it'd be better for your hand to be cut off than to take the silver from some Roman army or some governor and take that silver, 30 pieces, and took it in his hand and sold out Christ. Amen. How many people sold him out today for money? Amen. The high positions. Amen. Churches. Amen. Sold him out for money. And God, preachers have shut their mouth because of money, friend. Amen. I'm telling you, friend, thank God. Neighbor said it ain't for sale. The vineyard ain't for sale. You can give me all you want, but I ain't selling it to you. But Judas said, he said, I'll sell him out. You better cut your hand off, he said. That ain't literally talking about taking a knife and cutting it off. But he said it'd be better if you didn't have a hand, be cast into hell with both of them. Hear me. He apostatized. He apostatized with his own hand. With the filthy lucre that his hand put in. Hey, man, listen, I've saw preachers do that. I've saw them, Brother Joe. They've let the money rule them. Oh, listen, all them TV preachers ain't nothing but a bunch of hirelings, religious racketeers, and they want something in their palm. It ain't nothing to do with the gospel. It's all with a bunch of fame and fortune. And God said, listen, friend, let me tell you something. You know one of the marks of a false prophet? When Jesus said, beware of false prophets, one of them was if they stayed more than 3 days in the same place. The second was if they asked for money.
That's right.
I'm so sick of that mess, I don't watch it. I saw one guy one day, I was cutting by, and he said, if you'll send me $60 and plant a seed, God will bless you. I said, why's he got to plant it to you?
That's right.
Yeah, man. I mean, Jesus said, give it to somebody that you can't get back to you.
Right.
Amen. He didn't say, give it to some religious racketeer that's trying to gain money off you and believing a lie.
Right.
I don't stand for anybody that's not through a local church. It's not my ministry. I is a minister of God, but He uses a local church to fulfill His will on this earth. And I'm telling you what, friend, if you cut, listen, Judas was a betrayer. There's people sitting in churches as betrayers. They betray the preacher by their own tongue. Amen. They'll cut him down, run him down. Amen. They'll betray the church. I didn't like what they did down there. That's betraying. Amen. If you got a problem, go to God about it. Amen. Thank God, friend, I'm telling you one thing. Amen. Judas was a betrayer. With his hand, he took 30 pieces. Listen to this. With his own hands, he hung himself. And he hung himself upside down and his bowels gushed out. He was in the bishopric. He was numbered with them. He was numbered with them. That's right. Even Jesus said, one of you shall betray me. And all the disciples said, is it I? So he had them fooled pretty good. And you can't fool God, but you can fool them.
Right.
Hear me? That's right, ain't it? The hand, friend, listen to me. Hey, listen, amen. I'd rather, thank God say this morning, my friend, if you're going to apostatize and go away from the truth, it'd be better not to even have a hand to take the filthy lucre. It'll take you away from the truth. Then he said, if your foot offends you, feet take you somewhere. Feet cause you to walk to the enemy. Feet cause you to go to the wrong crowd. Feet cause Peter to thank God warm his hands by the fire. Don't say nothing about him. You might have done it and I might have done it too. Fear causes a man to do a lot of things. And I ain't getting on the government this morning. I chose, thank God, to take a spiritual text to me and stay with it. But I'm telling you, friend, God don't want His people living in fear. Amen. He wants us to be wise as serpents, harmless as doves. God help us to be that. But a foot takes you somewhere. A foot took Judas to the crowd to arrest Christ. His feet walked back. Amen. Thank God to arrest Christ. That's right. The feet. It takes you somewhere. No, I don't know where your feet's going to take you, but your feet will take you somewhere. He said it'd be better just to have one foot. Feet take people to sinful places. It's really not the feet. It's the heart that's controlling the feet. Amen. Feet take people to dance halls. Yeah, man. I'm going to preach it this morning. You might as well shake your head. There ain't never been a praying knee and a dancing foot on the same leg. Yeah, man. God help y'all. I preached this long years ago. Amen. I preached against the dance halls and amen, shaking a leg, amen. That's right, praise God. Amen, preacher. Hey, God, friend, I tell you, I ain't never found a Holy Ghost-filled man dancing on Saturday night and trying to preach on Sunday morning. Amen. That's right. I mean a foot, friend, I'm talking about a foot. It takes you a lot of places. It took Judas away. Amen. It took Judas to walk to that crowd. Amen. And told him, I'll take you to him. Jesus looked to him and said, if you apostatize from the truth, listen to me. I'm going to give you this here. I believe in being faithful to an assembly of believers because Christ is our head. Don't tell me this morning. Don't even come and tell me that I love Jesus, but I ain't really in love with the church. Impossible. Been impossible. That'd be like me going to a wife and saying, honey, I love the way you look, but the rest of you know I don't really care about. I'd get a right smacking right there, maybe. Something happened. Amen. It's impossible to say I love Jesus and not love His people and not want us. Them wouldn't listen, friend. I'm going to give you something here. The first sign of being a Christian, when they said them's Christians, they was assembling with the church.
Amen.
But can I tell you this? Loyalty to a body is being loyal to Christ. It's not being loyal just to a body. But apostasy is not from missing a service, even though I miss you. Apostasy is going away from the truth. Apostasy is leaving the truth. Apostasy is saying, I used to like Brother Hyde, and I used to like what he had to say, but I found another man that's not as quiet, as hard and loud. Now, I'm going to tell you this morning. If you want a religious cheerleader, you're in the wrong place. I'm not trying to motivate you. Amen. I'm not going to give you a big toupee smile. Amen. I'm not going through them things. I'm telling you, there's more people going to hell off of a pew this morning than there are bar stools because preachers are a bunch of fakes and a bunch of false prophets and won't preach nothing and they don't even believe in hell. I'm going to tell you something. If there's no hell, then the justice of God's a liar. If there's no hell. If there's no hell, God ain't just. Because God says His justice will demand the payment for iniquity. God's holy this morning. Listen, friend, the best attribute of God is holiness. That means when you look at yourself and look at God, you see yourself as unholy as a filthy rag. You say, you ain't building my self-esteem. I'm trying to get you to God. I ain't trying to build you up. You got to see where you at with God before you get saved. Amen. If you hang on this old religion and say, well, I do this and I do that and I don't do this and I don't do that, there's nothing in that. Look at me this way. You do not go to heaven. You do not get in the kingdom of God by what you do or what you don't do. A bunch of Baptist people still need to learn that than getting up saying, well, I don't do this and I don't do that and I do this and do that. And that has nothing to do with the kingdom of God in the interest of it. Amen. It's grace through faith completely in the Son of God and nobody else. And grace is the divine favor of God because He chose to give it to you. And you'd have never got saved if God had not chose to deal with your heart. And no man can come unless the Holy Ghost deal with him. And the day you set up my office, when you enter this house of God and you come to that my office, I had no idea. And you did not listen. And the Holy Ghost said, I'm going to get on him. Thank God I'm going to deal with him. I'm going to give some grace to him that he can believe under the saving of his soul because Daddy Blackwater ain't going to hell. Amen. You say, I don't know about that. Well, what do you believe about grace? Grace is a gift. It ain't up to you, friend. There ain't nobody ever said, God has to give you grace. This crowd today says, God help you. If God don't give you grace, you sunk. Grace is in Christ. He is grace. He's the favor of God to us. He's the Son of God. He's God the Son. Hey, God. Hey, man, friend, I'm telling you, you don't come to God with your feet. You come to God with your heart. Amen. If your foot's going to offend you, if your foot's going to take you where you ought not go, hey, man, just think about it. Hey, man, hey, God, when you take your shoes off tonight, they've been somewhere today. Take my shoes off. That one old guy wrote that little track. He said, you might put your shoes on this morning, but the undertaker might take them off tonight. Amen. I'm telling you, brother, this good brother, this fella, thank God, got killed down there with Duke Pyre at 34 years old. Amen. His wife used to teach there at the school where my wife and Miss Jennifer and them teach. That man was working on a down power line. And my friend, he got killed working on that. 34 years old. When he got up that morning, he went to work like he would go any other day. morning. He did not know, friend, that was the last day he was going to live. Amen. Listen, age is not the object, my friend. Thank God eternity's the object. Thank God, where are you going to live 1,000 years from now? Where are you going to be 100 years from now? Amen. Where is your soul and spirit going to spend eternity? Amen. These people today have been deluded by the devil, and they're living like they ain't going to die. But there is a death coming, and there is a judgment coming. Amen. That's right. There's a judgment coming whether you're living in the bars or living in the church. Whether you're rich or whether you're poor. Whether you drive a Cadillac or drive, thank God, a broken down car. It ain't got nothing to do with it. God just levels it all out. He said it don't matter whether he's a pastor at Westside Baptist Church. It don't matter, son. You ain't putting no errors for me. It don't matter who you are. Whether you're a pastor, whether you're a deacon, whether you're a Sunday school teacher, whether you're a song leader, whether you're a singer, whether you're a guitar player, banjo player, mandolin player, it don't matter. It don't listen. It don't matter, friend, whether you're black, white, yellow, red. It don't matter. If you got breath and you're a soul this morning, every man's going to give an account to God. Every man's going to give. It don't matter who you are. It don't matter. Listen, friend, the high name makes no progress with God. Jesus Christ is the only one making progress with the Father. It's not my last name. And God, I'm glad for the family I'm in. But it does not gain favor with God. It's because God had favor on me. It's not my favor, it's His favor. And if my foot offends me, cut it off. You know, sheep's prone to wander. You know, we're sheep if you're saved. And sheep wander. Sheep's a dumb animal, really. I've had some. And they won't come to you. They're skittish. I never saw a sheep that wasn't like that somewhat, but they didn't get out of the fence much at all. They stayed where they're supposed to, but they'd wander around the field. They just don't know what to do. I mean, it's just crazy. I mean, I've had goats and sheep. Amen. But the thing of it is, they're prone to wonder. We're prone to wonder. Amen. Listen, I like what Spurgeon said. He mentioned it a while ago. He said, I'm not so concerned when I look at a Christian whether he's sinning. I'm more concerned about how he feels about sinning.
That's right.
Because you're going to sin, how are you going to feel about sinning? Grieved. If your foot offends, you cut it off. Somebody said, I don't believe hell's got fire in it. When the Bible said it, you can have to argue that. There's a guy that said everybody's going to heaven. That ain't what the Bible says. I can't go by what nobody else says. I go by what Scripture says.
Amen.
He said here in the Scripture, he said this, where the worm died not, the fire is not quenched. And so there is fire in a place of damnation that God judges sin. Amen. Somebody said a loving God couldn't put a man in hell. He loved men under repentance, friend. Amen. Don't know the love of God till he knows Him. Amen. See, the problem is, God's not only a God of love, He's a God of justice. His justice loves. He's a just God. I want to tell you all this. This is God's truth, whether you believe it or not. Every child needs to be punished. And they know that that's right to be punished if you raise them right. God loves me, punished me because He loves me. He loves me because He bought me. But listen, because He punishes me, that's because He loves me. Your mom and daddy punish you because they love you. And if they say, Trevor, you didn't tell me the truth. I'm not saying you don't. I'm just using you as an example because I'm looking at you. And they say, you're going to have to take some licks for that. And when you go in there and bend over, it ain't going to feel good. You can try that crying stuff like I did before you ever swung, but it didn't work. But I'm going to tell you what, it helped me.
Amen.
And I'm going to tell you what, it felt clean. I wasn't even saved, but I'm just saying this. When you're chastised, it feels like it purges you some. And you agree to that fact. even though it's not joyous at the time. It yields something in you that teaches you, thank God, about the parent's love for you. Amen. Listen to this. He said, if thy eye offend thee, your eye, he said, it'd be better to have one eye than to have both eyes. Now, I listen to this. I'm about through. The eye's the gate of lust. Now, everybody has problems with lust. I have problems with lust. You have problems with lust. You say you don't, you lie. Listen, lust is in you. You have a nature of Adam. That means lust is in you. That means that as you grow older, you have more of a battle with yourself. You know what I'm saying? Here's the thing. Now, these boys here, how old are you now? Nine. Third grade, about the third or fourth grade, ain't you? So he'll have more problems when he's in the eighth grade or when he's in the 12th grade, because there's more eyes and more things and more body changes that causes him to look. Amen. And he, listen, friend, if we really got what we deserve, we'd probably all be in the grave. And so I said, listen, ladies, the best thing you can do is cover up. Can't even get an amen. Hold on. You got that right. And here's the thing. Are you listening? Man's moved by what he sees. Now, Solomon wrote the book of Proverbs, and he could write it better than anybody else about strange women, because he had a lot of them. I mean, it's hard to write about something you don't experience. It'd be hard for a man to get up here and preach on marriage and he never has been. It's hard for me, you know, I think as a pastor, because I've been a pastor in a while, and there's been people go through things that I couldn't go through with them 100% because I never had been through it, but my heart fell into that union of prayer and sorrow. But brother, I'm telling you, when Jesus died, friend, and rose again and went through this life, there's no temptation and there's nothing you can't go to Him that He don't know about. And some fella asked me one time, he said, I want to instruct my wife. He said, what should I tell her to wear? I said, something she can get as high as up on the neck and low as on the ground. You say that sounds animalistic. No, it ain't animalistic. It's just the God's truth. You know why God put it in me? I'm going somewhere. Listen to me. God put it in a man to behold that woman. That's right. He put it in me. He put it in you to behold your wife. That's sacred grounds. What's happened in this day and time, everybody does what they want to in their own eyes, and there's no stability. There's no. I mean, even in a marriage. God help, I don't mean to preach on all this stuff. I got a problem. I really got a problem with a woman who wants to go out half naked into town but don't want to show her husband. Yeah, man. Somebody said, why they do that? They want to be seen. Yeah, man, that's right. Yeah, man. Buddy, I'm telling you, mankind has enough problem with the eye gates. He said it'd be better to pluck them out. He said it'd be better to have one eye. Amen. Don't let the eyes cause you to apostatize. Don't look at things that's going to cause you to apostatize. And it's very hard sometimes. You go in Walmart, God forbid. And here you go in there, and And you say, how you overcome that, Brother Hyde? I just guess by the Spirit. Spirit mind. That's the best way to do it. Holy Spirit, help him. And look the other way. I mean, God, have mercy. But a lot of people's going to go to hell because they've let the eye of covetousness. They've coveted everything. Everything. Listen, friend, they ain't content with nothing. He said, be content with such things as you have, for I'll never leave you nor forsake thee. And then he said, I've learned to be content. That don't mean you ought not progress in your life, but that means you ought to be content with what God gives you. Listen, I'm going to use you for example. What time is it here? I don't want to hold people all day. It won't come back tonight. I'll use Brother Danny for example. He lives up there in a modest apartment, I'd say that, and uptown. Yeah, it's all right. He ain't never complained to me about it. Don't have no car. Don't have a big surplus. And what happens in life is a lot of times we think we got to have something all the time. I said we. Because the eye of covetousness wants these things. It draws us. It puts something in us. Listen, covetousness is a terrible sin. Jesus said, beware of covetousness. Beware of it. Don't let them things override you. Don't let them things take you out. There's nothing wrong with having nice things. Just don't let things have you. If you get your eyes on a lot of these things, you'll listen, friend, I'm going to tell you this. Listen to me. The eye of man's never satisfied. Boy, thank God I got. I mean, I hit the lottery. I mean, I won $1 million. Boy, I'm going to go buy me a beach house, mountain house. I'm going to buy me a, thank God, a boat. I'm not against a boat. I'm going to go to the mountains. Thank God. I mean, I got all this. Look at what I got. God says, you're going to die tonight. And I'm going to tell you what, listen to me. The people that's filled with all the goods of this world, some of the loneliest people in their heart. Buddy, I'm okay. Ain't nobody can satisfy your heart but Jesus.
Amen.
There, listen, friend, there's an empty hole in mankind when he's born because he's born a sinner. And I'm going to tell you what, there ain't nothing can satisfy your heart but Jesus. And I'm talking that, brother. I'm telling you, son, these people, God, I saw a guy the other day. Me and Danny is going up to a meeting. I'm not criticizing the guy. I mean, he's a sinner probably. No doubt he is. Everybody has. But I saw him with three cases of beer under his arm. I thought, boy, if he drinks all that, he ain't going to get up for 2 days. But you know what? He'll have to go back next weekend and buy it again. Lord, God. I tell what Jesus does in your heart, you won't have to go back and get it again. You won't have to go back and get it again. I'm going to tell your eye, listen, that eye, friend, it gets you. Hey, man, listen. Thank God he said, if your eye calls you apostles, Judas looked at Jesus and said, that's him. And he went and kissed him on the cheek, my friend. And Jesus said, friend, Jesus still showed kindness to him. He betrayed him. And he looked at the 12 and said, if you apostles, if you let these hands, foot, and eye get you away from God and how you see things, he said, you'll end up in hell. I'm going to tell you, boys, listen to me. I'm going to beg you. You better be better off with Jesus. Anything the world's got to offer.
Amen.
Son, I hope God blesses you good. I mean, praise God, all of you. Amen. You grow up, thank God, saved, marry a good woman. Amen. Have a nice house. Amen. Drive a nice car. Amen. Make a little money. Amen. But I'm telling you what, friend, and nothing of that will satisfy you. Thank God, unless you got Jesus in your life. Amen. That's why we like the camp so much, because we took young people away from everything. got them off somewhere, let them have some activities at night, hear the man of God preach. And we've seen them saved that way. And seen them helped that way. Amen. Get them away from the TV, the computer, the radios, and all that. Especially the cell phone. Amen. And God, get them somewhere where they can hear the Word of God. Get them somewhere where they can enjoy life. Amen. There's birds singing outside. There's trees outside. Thank God, there's things. There's grass outside. Amen. There's balls outside. Thank God, there's hoes and shovels. Thank God, there's water outside. There's fish in the lakes. What in the world are going on in our day? Multitudes are going to hell. Bought by the devil and his lie this morning. Never seen a day in my life that nobody's outside even playing. Go by these parks and everything else. And I know Dan Nichols Park gets crowded on Saturdays, but I'm talking about at the house. Kids used to go out and play in the dirt. A boy knew what a pocket knife was. Thank God he knew what a BB gun was. Amen. He knew them things, Brother Joe. Amen. He knew, thank God, that he was a boy. She didn't dress him like a girl. Amen. She put, thank God, some boots on him. Amen. Thank God, tennis shoes, something. Thank God, said, go outside. Amen. Make a stick gun. Amen. Thank God, make a horse to ride. Do something out there. No, that's, thank God, God didn't make you to sit in here. Amen. God made you to do something. And the problem with our day and time is when we leave natural things, when we leave natural ways, what it does, it puts in hearts of children to follow this systematic world that knows nothing about God. I love playing ball, man. I love it. My mama never had to tell me, you got to go outside. I love playing it. I love playing football. This wasn't big enough playing school. It got racked too hard. But I like backyard football. I love backyard football. I'd play it today if my body could hold up after I've got through. I love basketball. That was my sport. I love baseball, basketball, football, softball. Amen. I loved it. We went around the neighborhood and played it. They were raising kids that don't know nothing about it. We don't know nothing about going outside and playing, giving their life, thank God, that way that we might have. Amen, brother. Listen, I'm about to. Amen. What's happened is we've let the world control the minds. And inside somebody's mind this morning, some child, inside of their own mind, they're going,
yep.
I can't hear the preacher. What's he saying? The devil says you don't need to hear him. When you get home, you can enjoy what you like.
Right.
And I asked Brother Milby this. I said, Brother Milby, what was it like when you was a child? He said, you worked and went to bed. And he said, when sinners got under conviction, they couldn't do nothing else but sleep on it. They didn't have a TV to turn on, a radio, or anything like that. Are you saved this morning? Are you born again? If you died right now, the old guy said, where would you spend eternity? That's what he told his men. Beware of it. Let's stand this morning.